You're listening to Garden Planet with Selena and Karen.
Hi, guys. Welcome back.
Yes, welcome back. We're in the studio and we're talking face-to-face.
Yeah. How about it? Yeah, feels weird.
Yeah.
And the whole week's felt weird, actually. But anyway, that could tie in nicely with our topic regarding... Yes. High times.
High times in gardening.
In the garden.
We're having fun.
Feeling weird.
Or the other topic that I, or the other name for our topic I thought of was gardening high school.
Yeah.
We have graduated from the ground level and we're going up.
We're going upwards. No going back. Onwards and up.
So just thinking about our topic, Karen, how many stories is your house?
Two stories. Not counting the basement with all the bodies in it.
Oh, so you're higher than me. I've only got one.
Yeah. Two stories. But I'm talking, well, you know what, why, because it was actually my idea, guys. I said to Selena, because we're all a bit brain dead since the, well, more brain dead than usual. But during the lockdown, it's up and with saying, you know, oh, what on earth can we discuss? And it really got me thinking, you know, this whole sort of, this is how I feel. It could be a bit controversial. No.
We're not stranger to that.
But this whole ideology of wanting to sustain the human population, that's to me what the whole purpose of the lockdown was, right? We didn't want many people dying.
No.
Is that... Yeah, I think I got the gist of it.
Stay home.
So currently our Earth's population is at 8 billion thereabouts.
For humans, okay.
Human population. It is projected to reach 10 billion by 2050. All going well, right? So it got me thinking, you know, with this, okay, so we're not going anywhere. We've got... you know, authorities in place that are going to keep us here no matter what, unless,
yeah, because
I don't know, when the Earth envelops in flames. I don't.
People went to the moon, they found out there was nothing really there. Like, just rocks.
Yeah.
No plant life.
We haven't really got anywhere else to go, so we're just going to keep inhabiting this planet for now.
Mm-hmm.
We're rapidly running out of space. I feel... like we are.
We're getting overcrowded, you mean?
Do you feel that way? I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of suffocated right now. Like, I don't know.
With all the air pollution and people breathing carbon dioxide.
Cars everywhere. Like, when you think, when you look at Google Earth and the spread of the human race, it's very visual when you compare it to years past. So... it got me thinking, well, how, okay, obviously we've always had, you know, fruit and veggie produce and meat using land.
Yes.
And quite a fair amount of land is required to feed the people and the animals. But if we're going to continue this growth, which is expected to reach 10 billion by 2050, where do we go? We go up.
Yes.
And that's how... I said, let's talk about that. Yes. Let's explore that. Because we've got to come up with solutions.
Right?
To feed the people.
Because
people are hungry.
People mostly live in cities now.
And urban life is where it's at for, I don't know, most of the population,
of
I would say.
People.
I mean, I grew up rurally, but I think I'm a minority. I think we are, yeah. As rural
lives. Well, Auckland has over 1 million, which is a quarter of, or a fifth of the New Zealand's population.
Yeah, I think it's actually nearing to closer to 2 million. Or it's getting there.
And we're quite a spread out city, quite one of the biggest geographically. And, yeah, compared to some other big, big cities, we don't have the high rise... that a lot of other cities do.
So I did a bit of research and I discovered a company by the name of Sky Greens. And of course, I thought, oh, that sounds interesting. What could that be about?
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the potential solutions to this lack of viable land yes. problem that faces us. And a man by the name of Jack Ng, I think I'm saying it, he's from Singapore, NG.
Yes,
Ng. Correct? Yeah, Ng. Yep. He is the inventor and founder of Sky Greens. And he started experimenting with various prototypes back in 2009 in the backyard of his aluminium factory. And the end result was a vertical farming system based on the principles of hydraulics and gravity. Sky Greens is the world's first low-carbon, hydraulic, water-driven, vertical organic farm.
Oh, okay.
And it's their mission, Sky Greens' mission, is to actualise food supply security and food safety targets and to integrate low-carbon footprint agriculture into urban living. That's their mission. And I think that's pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Question, Karen, are they doing hydroponics? Is that what
no,
they mean by
hydroponics? Growing in soil. And I'm going to explain the system to you. Okay. I know, I thought you'd like that. Yeah, that's where I was like, oh, as well, because I'm more
soils.
Hydroponics comes with its complications.
Yeah.
Okay. So the system consists of rotating tiers of growing troughs mounted on an A-shaped aluminium frame. So obviously he took his knowledge of aluminium production and, you know, came up with the system. And obviously he's got an interest in organic food production as well. So he integrated the two.
Okay.
The troughs rotate around the frame, ensuring the plants receive uniform sunlight, irrigation and nutrients. The frame can be as high as 9 metres with 38 tiers of growing troughs. I'm just showing you a picture. These are a website. www.skygreens.
Okay.
Dot something. Anyway, just Google Sky Greens, you'll find all the information.
So it's like growing on shelves.
Yeah, and they rotate and go sort of around in a certain number of hours. That's ideal for, well, they first test bedded with the production of tropical leafy vegetables, and that was proved a resounding success. By 2012, commercial operations had begun in Singapore, and as the farm expands, Sky Greens intend to grow other vegetables.
What vegetables were they growing, did it say?
Current Sky plant varieties include Sky Malbai, which is Chinese cabbage, Sky lettuce, Sky spinach, and there's a couple of other varieties that you might know, Sky Bayam, Sky Kailand, you know that?
Kailand, yep. So Chinese veggies,
yeah. So I think they're looking to expand that, possibly for us more westernised countries that incorporate other veggies into our diet. So that's kind of exciting. Yeah.
Lettuce has always been a standby for growing in a pot anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got a number of accreditations. It's a winner of an INDX award, the world's biggest design award, and was also included in the 2015 Sustainia 100, which features the most forefront in sustainability innovation. So this is, I believe, the way of the future.
Is this grown on top of the rooftop or just on ordinary land and it's just
And I think it's enclosed. I had a look at some of the videos. They have tours and everything around these places, which would be really interesting. Oh. If you're ever in Singapore, I would go and check it out for sure.
So is this inside a greenhouse?
Yeah, it's enclosed in a glass. I'm assuming it's glass, but it's see-through, so you can get that optimal sunlight coming through. Why does it have a low carbon footprint? Was that going to be a question? Yeah. How does it achieve that? Yeah. Well, let me answer that. It has a high yield, so when compared with traditional monolayer farms, the Sky Greens vertical farming system intensifies the land use that it's on, resulting in at least 10 times more yield per unit land area.
Interesting. I guess because it rotates and every plant will get its designated amount of sunlight.
Yeah. It has low energy use. With the harnessing of natural sunlight, there is no need for artificial lighting. And the rotation is powered by a hydraulic water-driven system. I think this is patented. this system.
Okay.
So there's a bit of engineering involved there as well, which utilises the momentum of flowing water and gravity to rotate the troughs.
Wow, I've got to see this. It sounds a bit like the Hanging Gardens of Babylon.
Yeah.
Kind of. How did they do it? But they had all these hydraulics in place.
They used hydraulics a lot too. And hydraulics, I think, is gravity.
Gravity-fed water.
Yeah. Only 40 watts of electricity, which is the equivalent of one light bulb, is needed to power one 9-metre tower. That's not much.
Wow.
Low water use is another reason why it's got a low carbon footprint. With the plants irrigated and fertilised using a flooding method, so I think by that they just mean the plants sit in a trough or something.
Yeah.
There is no need for a sprinkler system.
Oh, that's... Yeah,
thereby eliminating electricity wastage as well as water wastage due to runoff.
Mm.
The water is enclosed in an underground reservoir system and is recycled. And the other thing is there's low maintenance, being housed in a protected environment, and aluminium doesn't rust. And it just ensures the system requires relatively little maintenance. So,
wow.
It's cool. I reckon
that's ingenious.
So that's, well done. What's his name? Jack.
Jack Ng. Very good.
Well done. Top job. Clever man.
I just have...
Simple ideas, eh? You think, oh.
Visions of the future.
Yeah.
We'll all be growing upwards.
So you did a bit of research on your own, but from a different sort of view of high gardening.
Yes. Well, instead of us building up and cutting down trees, how about we move into the trees?
Have you had a tree hut before, a tree house?
No.
Oh, my dad, bless his soul, made us one. Yeah, they're fun.
So,
but some people do. They've got amazing, I've seen them, there's a tree house show on the TV with that guy that goes around and actually makes these amazing...
And they're all so different from one another. Amazing that you can live in a tree. I don't know if we originally did that when we first, humans first started out, but, yes. Anyway,
I know that, like, in the Amazon, they live in, like, houses on stilts.
Yes.
You know?
I was thinking it's sort of like Tatarangi where people live in amongst the bush, but actually inside the... in amongst the trees. So I did some research because obviously I never have lived in a treehouse or had one. So I had to find out all about this. And it was very interesting. So I found this book published by Black & Decker, you know, the tall guys.
Yeah.
On how to make a treehouse.
Yeah.
And it had all these step-by-step instructions of what you might need to consider before constructing one.
Yeah.
So, firstly, you need to find a suitable tree.
Yeah.
And not all trees are suitable for...
No, they're not.
...tree houses. It would need a full canopy. So you don't want a tree that is missing bits. Because it has to be a healthy tree.
But sometimes you have to, like, cut branches to make it,
And... you would need to check with an arborist just to make sure that the tree is healthy and it's not rotting or anything.
Well, yeah, I know, but arborists, from my experience, always tell you that the tree's diseased.
Of course, because they want to work on it.
Definitely needs to be chopped. you can use them to maybe if you need to make a few adjustments to the tree.
Yeah.
Unless you're keen to get up there with a chainsaw yourself.
No. So the tree needs to be mature and healthy. The roots, not shallow, so quite deep roots, because the trees do sway in the wind.
Yeah.
But you don't want the treehouse falling out.
Well, I can't remember how Dad made a really solid treehouse for us. It had like a... It was like a proper little room that he had somehow attached to the tree. It was not going... When he cut down the tree, when the tree died, the tree house came with it.
Oh.
Yeah, I was watching the whole thing going,
That's been fun. To site the suitable tree nest be away from the neighbours to sort of, well, yeah, do you want everybody looking in? The purpose of a treehouse is to sort of be hidden in the tree. So
you want to be able to look. You want to be able to be looking at everyone else, not the other way around.
Yeah, and away from power lines and public byways and that sort of thing. So I suppose if you live in the rural area, you know, you have plenty of options to choose from. Not so much in the suburbs where we pretty much cut down our trees to make houses, but yeah. So a treehouse is actually technically a temporary structure. If it has like water and electricity, you need a building consent.
Oh dear. Even with these new regulations that they've put through, the council saying you can put up small structures around the place, which I'm dreading because my neighbours already. Anyway, let's not go there. I'm just, it could be a bit crazy. But, maybe we might get away with it.
Maybe.
I wonder if you could just chuck like an extension cord over.
Maybe. Most tree houses, they come in all different designs because you sort of have to work around the tree. A lot of them will be like a platform in the crook of the tree. Or you can put them on stilts and build around the tree.
I love that idea.
Yeah.
Yes.
And to get up the tree, you need to have like a ladder or a stairs that could go around the tree. What the Black and Decker book recommended was like a rope ladder or a good set of stairs, but not like steps that you hammer into the trunk. That's not good for the tree.
Yeah, that's what we did with our tree hut. We just hammered like bits of wood into the tree. Maybe that's why the tree died in the end. Mm. I don't know. But it wasn't very safe anyway because they kept falling out. Like we'd go,
kids
got bigger. Yeah.
So maybe a good idea is to have a rope that you could climb up.
Oh.
And a fireman's pole that you could go down. Or a rope ladder.
I don't even know if I could do either of those things anymore. I tried it the other day at school going down the pole and I ended up with blisters on my hands and sore legs. I thought, I never had these problems when I was six. Well, maybe I did, I just didn't care.
It could be a platform with railing around it. It doesn't necessarily have to have a roof over it, but you could make a roof. And you could put doors and windows, but windows don't put glass in them, just have them open or plastic. Just for safety. You don't want glass.
I don't know, man. I've seen that. My neighbour's made one for his son on the other side. And he's got all this leftover stuff, building stuff. And it looks like a proper insulated little outhouse up in the. I said to him, Steve, mate, you'd be able to live up there. It's got windows, it's got a sliding door.
Oh.
And it's in a tree. It's little. It's like a little, like one of those little things you'd buy at Mitre 10 with the little shed up in a tree. It's cool.
Okay.
I think if it's done properly, you'd be all right.
Yeah.
And he seems to know what he's doing. Okay, so.
As long as you know what you're doing. be careful of deciduous trees. Probably best to have an evergreen one, like a pine tree.
Yeah.
Just because in winter it will fall down and you'll be exposed. Just beware of weak limbs. And one of the things that said was underneath the tree where you're going to come down all the time, it recommends do not suffocate the roots with soil. A lot of people try and do this and put soil on top of the roots, but they actually need to breathe.
Oh, right.
So what it recommends is for a landing underneath a tree, just put chipped wood as a mulch.
When you see the tree roots coming sort of up through the soil, that's interesting. It's not by mistake.
It's meant to be like that. So wood chips were a good idea. And it will, it won't hurt the tree.
Yeah.
Safety is good. And you can use pulleys and little zip lines and swings and things. Be creative. Yeah, just let your imagination run a bit wild.
Okay.
Some tree houses that you...
When I've got a big enough tree.
You can go to. So I did some research and found there was one up in Warkworth.
Yeah?
Called the Redwoods Tree House.
Oh! Yeah, before I've seen the sign and I've always wondered what... And I've just driven past it.
If you have...
Yeah, I know the area. It's on the just before you get to Warkworth.
Yeah. If you have $3,000 spare, you can hire it out as a venue.
$3,000?
I know, yes. You can have a catered wedding or, you know, meeting up there.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the Redwoods Tree House.
Right.
They actually built that one as a marketing campaign for the Yellow Pages quite a few years ago.
All right.
So that's why that's there.
Okay.
Or if you don't have $3,000 to spare to hire that venue or you don't get invited, you could go to the Redwoods Tree Walk in Rotorua.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they have the whole forest and you can go climb up the trees on the walkways and they have bridges in amongst the trees.
And you'd recommend that? You've done that?
Well... I went with Mum last time, but she didn't want to go up the tree.
Oh, she wasn't keen, yeah.
But we walked underneath.
Did it look cool?
Yeah, it looked pretty cool. It's only cost $30 to go up there. So to see how it's done, like, professionally, you could go there. And redwoods are amazing trees.
Oh, they're
very strong and very tall and live a long time.
Yeah, they do. They must be getting quite big there now.
Yes.
Yeah. I haven't been there for it to the... I did a bit of mountain biking there years ago, decades ago.
And
my legs still work properly.
You can go at night time and it's all lit up. So,
nice.
That's another option.
Yeah.
Check it out if you're in the area.
All right. Well, Selena. Well, thank you for that building a treehouse information. I'll bear that in mind. Black and Decker website is it?
No, it's a book.
A book?
They do all these manuals on how to build things.
All right. Thank you for that.
Check that out.
All right. Well, I think it's time to have a look at our plant of the week.
Okay.
Of all the saddest words that I have ever heard, the saddest is a story told me by a bird. You'd spend about an hour chatting with a flower. Here's the tale the flower told. Quote, I'm a lonely little petunia and an onion patch.
An onion patch.
So, what's our plant of the week, Karen?
Well, I had to think about this one. And I thought, what is a good plant, whether you're in a treehouse or in a high-density city living up in an apartment, what would be a really good plant to grow? And you like plants, but obviously you're urbanised, right?
Yes.
Which is, it's hard for those people that have got green thumbs. What... In no land, you know?
Mm.
So it's a bit of a challenge, but I did a bit of research and quickly came up with this one. It's called Devil's Ivy.
Devil's Ivy?
I know, and you being a true green thumb is like, what? What the? What do you want? Because, well, it's a very invasive. It's considered not. Is it considered noxious here?
No, actually. Good choice, because that is one of the star performers of the balcony gardens where I used to work, looking after all the plants in an atrium. And it was a very good, tough plant and lovely.
Is that the one in the Waitakere Gardens?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll get into it a little bit why. Guess what, Selena? Interestingly, Devil's Ivy, despite its invasive... side.
Reputation.
Yeah. Was actually awarded the Royal Horticultural Society's Award of Garden Merit. It's actually received a prestigious award. This is an award of recognition of a plant's performance under UK growing conditions. So basically, it'll grow anywhere.
Oh.
Heaps of things grow in the UK, though. I noticed that when I was there. It's a gardener's paradise in the UK.
But received an award.
It's received an award. But in the same breath, it has also made it to the Florida's Exotic Pest Control Council's list of invasive species as well. So it's got that accreditation to its name as well.
Interesting.
So,
if you live in Florida, do not grow this plant.
So it is a species of the Araceae family. Is that a family? Araceae? I think.
If anything ends in A, it will usually be a plant family.
Yeah. Yep. So it's a part. Am I saying that right? Araceae?
Yeah.
Cool. And it is a native to Mo'orea in the Society Islands of French Polynesia.
Okay. Tahitian.
Okay. There you go. Very exotic. It's an evergreen vine with heart-shaped leaves.
Yes, I like
the
shape.
Why on earth would you call it devil's ivy?
Yeah, why is it called devil's?
Well, I'm not even going to try and pronounce its Latin. No, is it Latin? Botanical name.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say it? Do you remember it?
You're better at these pronunciations
at the top.
Epiprenum aureum. Sounds like I'm casting a spell.
Et voila. Yeah. It can grow up to 20 metres and climbs by means of aerial roots, which adhere to surfaces. So it's a popular household plant in temperate regions with numerous cultivars selected for leaves with white, yellow or even variegation. It is often used in decorative displays, as you just talked about, commercially as well as domestically, due to it requiring little care and due to the fact it is attractively leafy.
Mm.
Okay.
Yes.
Grown indoors, capable of reaching more than 2 metres, but hardly develops adult-sized leaves. The best results are achieved by providing indirect light, although it can tolerate an intense luminosity, but do heed that too much sunlight will burn the leaves, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Very robust plant. That's why I'm recommending it for apartment living or treehouse living.
Yes.
Supports bad growing conditions. So if you're not a natural gardener, this is the plant for you. You won't kill it.
Hardly had to water it.
You only need to water it when the soil's dry to the touch.
Mm.
So if, like, 3 weeks later you go, it's dry as a desert there. Right, okay, give it a water.
It was very disease resistant, where I noticed, compared to the other plants that I had to look after.
Yeah.
That one never got any problems.
It's tough. I wonder also if one of the reasons why it received an award, it's very efficient at removing indoor pollutants, such as formaldehyde and benzene. It's even used in aquariums where it's placed on top of the water and allowed to grow roots, which in turn benefits both plant and aquarium because it absorbs many nitrates and then it uses them for growth. And I was thinking, I know we're about to run out of time here. Mm-hmm. You know how Auckland's running out of water and we're thinking of getting water from the Waikato River, which is full of nitrates.
Yes.
Thanks, gardeners. Farmers. Maybe gardeners as well. Maybe we could put that water into a reservoir first with this plant.
Yes.
Suck out all the nitrogen. You know, start thinking some through, like, with a biological solution.
Yes.
You know, simple. Anyway.
Wow. Thanks, Karen.
So that's devil's ivy, guys. Look it up.
You're full of ideas.
I am. I've had too much time in lockdown. But don't let it get loose in the bush because it'll take over the forest floor. Oh, all right? So just bear that in mind.
Okay. They'll be our natives. And leafy green.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone. So hope you've had your fill of ideas this episode. We are going to be back next week. Happy gardening, everyone.
Take it easy, guys.
Bye for now.
See you later.
Thanks for listening, everyone. That's all we have time for. Come back next week for more great gardening tips at Garden Planet. You can find us on Facebook on our Garden Planet Facebook page or email us at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com if you want to ask us anything about gardening. Happy gardening, everyone, and we'll be back next week.